out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union.
Tonight we got our fans.
Yeah! Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice.
The only thing you can control is when you shower tonight and you look yourself in the mirror, you're going to say, you have to be able to say to yourself, I gave everything I had tonight for my teammates. And if you can't say that, shame on you.
Here's your host, Bob McGallagher.
Yeah, the Devil will be inside Nationwide Arena tonight. There'll be about 23 Devils inside of Nationwide Arena tonight. Only 20 of them will play. The New Jersey Devils and the Blue Jackets will get together for the very first time this year, and also the first time this week. This is the first game in a home-and-home series that will conclude on Friday at the Prudential Center in New Jersey. Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ in 30. I'm Bob McElligott. Blue Jackets and the Devils, they've been dancing around at the top of the Metropolitan Division throughout the course of the year without seeing one another. Now the Blue Jackets have a chance to create a little bit of separation, but that is not going to be easy. No, these are not your father's New Jersey Devils, although if they would have been, they would have been pretty good. But this is a different kind of Devils team. No longer they trap you in the neutral zone, no longer try to impede your progress all day long. No, this is a very young, a very fast, a very talented New Jersey Devils team that the Blue Jackets will see tonight. We got a glimpse of that last year as they were starting to morph into this. Ever since Ray Shiro took over as the general manager after, having been in Pittsburgh for a long time, Lou Lamoriello was in New Jersey forever before going to Toronto. Shiro is now putting his stamp on this team. He started that by signing John Hines as the head coach, then getting some more talent. You know, and Shiro always got knocked around for being a defense-first guy in Pittsburgh. In fact, when he was at the end of his tenure in Pittsburgh, one of the big complaints was that he went out of his way to get too many defensemen and he wasn't getting enough offensive-minded players, and that was attributed to, by fans and by the media, I should say, it was attributed to him because of being in Nashville, where that's what they did when he was the assistant general manager there, was they beefed up on defense and then kind of hoped for the best. Well, you know, Nashville has transformed too. They finally had enough defensemen. They were able to build with the forwards, and now last year they went to the Stanley Cup final. You could see Ray Shiro doing some of the same things here with the New Jersey Devils now, making them a much more offensive-minded team. So this will be an interesting week for the Blue Jackets as they see the Devils not once, but twice. All right, some things to go over here before we get started. As a matter of fact, before I get far into this, I always wait until we're way into the show, and I want to change it up a little bit today, and I want to tell you right off the top about our presenting sponsor, who is terrific, and that is Telhio Credit Union. If you're looking to keep your banking local but also have all of the financial services you need, it's easy. Check out Telhio Credit Union. Go to telhio.org. Right there, you learn about all of the convenient products and services they have available, from a loan to get through the holidays without racking up credit card debt to accounts that are available wherever and whenever you need them. At Telhio Credit Union, your money is put to work right here in our community, helping to build homes and local businesses. Learn more and open an account online. You don't even have to leave your couch. Open it online by going to telhio.org. Open to everyone in Central and Southwestern Ohio, federally insured by NCUA. All right, let's get to the business of game day at Nationwide Arena. Some housekeeping things from yesterday. I didn't talk about this yesterday in the Monday Mailbag edition. Nobody asked me, but I also didn't talk about it. Today I will. Sonny Milano was reassigned to the Cleveland Monsters. He is the odd man out in the Blue Jackets lineup and on the Blue Jackets roster right now. And yesterday after practice, head coach John Tortorella talked about Sonny Milano and the decision to send him back down to the American Hockey League.
These are tough decisions, but the makeup of our lines, I have a number of people that I think are struggling offensively that I've got to get them in better offensive positions. So the makeup of our lines, someone had to come out as far as an offensive guy because I didn't want to play a Bjorkstrand or a Sonny on the fourth line because it doesn't do them any good.
Right.
I think I've taken Borky's game away a little bit because I haven't put him in enough offensive situations. Sonny will be back. He's going to be part of this team. I think his game has dipped a little bit. He agreed with me. But I'm not so sure these decisions are fair, but the decisions we have to make for tomorrow night's game.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes from there.
You get Winberg back, you get Calvert back, it just gets too crowded in the top.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I had Sonny on the fourth line, I don't know how many games, you guys may know. It doesn't do him any good. I look at his numbers, he's still producing as far as not so much points on the board, but in scoring chances. But I need to get Oliver going a little bit. I need to get a number of guys going. It's easy to be mad at people because they're not producing or involved in the offense. We have to try to get this team going with more people offensively. So Sonny will go play. I'm not sure how long because I think he needs to be part of this team eventually, and we'll work it from there.
Beyond the minutes he gets down there, what do you want the reports to say about his play in Cleveland?
Well, I just want him to continue to work on his game away from the puck because I think he's done a really good job of that here. This isn't because of his play. It's because I put some lines together to try to help some people to get him in offensive positions. Sonny was the odd man out in my mind, and I wasn't going to put him on the fourth line. And our fourth line tomorrow will probably be Zedlak, Jenner, and Motter. That's more of an identity on a fourth line. So this is ever fluent as we go through. We're going to try to get some guys an opportunity in more offensive positions. Then we got to make decisions. And I truly believe Sonny's going to be a big part of this team as we go through the season.
I think he's right about that. I think Sonny Milano will return. I believe that he will be a big part of what happens here with the Blue Jackets before the year is over. I know that might sound kind of crazy at this point, but look, the guy got 5 goals right out of the gate. And then all of a sudden they started tinkering with him and worried about his defensive play and not his offensive play. All it has to come down to is this team continues to struggle offensively, and a guy that has offensive talent is going to come back and be allowed to just go. That's my opinion. That's what I think ultimately happens here. There are so many guys that are struggling right now that if he goes down there and he's playing his game and he's lighting it up, he's going to come back. Very simple. Very simple. Because this team is looking for scoring. They're still looking for their identity. They really are. They're absolutely looking for their identity. But Oliver Bjorkstrand's higher on the depth chart than Sonny Milano is. Tyler Motte is right now, too. Why is that? Because he's playing in a fourth-line role. And that's the difference. Because Sonny Milano in a fourth-line role just doesn't work. He's got to be in a scoring role. And if he can't do the entire job, then he's not going to be playing that part. I think he's going to go down there and work on it. And hey, there could be changes too. We keep on talking about the possibility at some point of making a trade to better the team. At some point, you may lose a piece. And Sonny Milano might be the guy that fills in to take over for that piece. You never know. You never know. He could be a chip at some point if he's playing well down there based on what he did earlier this year. But I think he's going to be a piece. I think John Tortorella is absolutely right. He's going to come back and he's going to do something. But for now, his job is to go down there and to play. And I've said this before for years on this show. Here's the difference between guys that excel after getting sent down and guys that don't. It's your attitude. If you go down with the wrong attitude, if you pout and you whine and you cry and you play that way, then you're there for a long, long time, maybe forever. Maybe not him, but I'm just saying there's some guys that never return from that. If you go down with a positive attitude with the intent of working on the things you're supposed to work on and you do your job and you do it well, you come back. So that is where Sonny Milano is right now. It's up to him. It's up to him. The puck is on his stick. He gets to decide if he's going to score with it or if he's going to dump it in the corner and just go to the bench. And I mean figuratively, because actually there are many times John Tortorella wants him to dump it into the corner instead of going to the net. So maybe that wasn't a great analogy and example. But one line that Torts did talk about heavily yesterday, and for good reason, is the line of Pierre-Luc Dubois, Josh Anderson, and Artemi Panarin, because that's the one thing that he has working right now. That's it. The other three lines, might as well put the names in the hat and draw them out. You might as well take the dice and roll them and see what you get. And that's got to change. Somebody has got to step up and do what this line is doing. Somebody, collection of individuals, doesn't matter. But there has to be more than just this one line, because I'll tell you this, as you go through here, if there's only one line going, they're going to get all the attention, they're going to get the best defenders, and teams are going to take their chances with everybody else. And the funny thing is, the everybody else's are the Cam Atkinsons, Brandon Dubinsky's, Boone Jenner's, Nick Foligno's. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The everybody else's are supposed to be the Pierre-Luc Dubois, the 19-year-old kid. They're supposed to be the Josh Andersons, the second full year in the National Hockey League. It's supposed to be those guys. It's not supposed to be the top guys. It's not supposed to be the big money guys. But right now, it's the big money guys who are the other guys, and the young guys who are the guys. You got it? Have you followed me? Good. I knew you would. But John Tortorella talked about that line, but primarily talking about what has been, I'm going to say it because I believe it, what has been stellar play by Pierre-Luc Dubois.
You can see his confidence growing, but the biggest thing with Luke is just is having the puck, being strong in the puck. I think he's extended offensive shifts. He's been a big part of it because he's turned his back on the puck and held on to him. Hasn't lost too many. He's still a young man. Sometimes he gets flat, and they get him in a position where they can get the puck off him. He's certainly not going to be perfect, but he's really worked on being a harder player. He's tried to beat people going to the net with the puck. He's a big kid, and I think he's realizing that he can use his body, and I think it's grown. And I just think they've helped one another. I don't think it's any one particular person. They've just helped one another gain some confidence offensively.
We know he's composed, but does it say something about him that, you know, here he is on a line with the biggest acquisition of the offseason? Yeah. It doesn't seem to faze him.
It doesn't. I've had conversations about the pressure, about the number, the draft pick, and expectations. And it was great. He says, it doesn't bother me. It may bother other people. It doesn't bother me. He says, I'm just trying to learn and I want to play. He reminds me of that defenseman we got last year in Werenski, where they just want to learn, they want to play, they're focused, they're straight ahead, and not too much of the minutia bothers them, and they just go out and play.
Torch, when you talked about comparing Pierre-Luc with Zach last year, you know, when scouts are looking at guys, they're looking at their talent, but they're also trying to figure out what kind of people they are, and that's the hardest thing in the world to do, I know. When they get it right, how much easier does that make it on a coach when they've got the right personality and the right intellect to go along with the skills?
It's a huge part of, and it's the most difficult part. Scouting, that's a tough job. You're trying to, you can look at the skill set and differentiate from one to another as far as who has the skills and who's lesser. It's the mind and it's the maturity. You're looking at kids when they're 16, 17-year-olds projecting at such an age where they're changing every day. So for a scout to lock themselves in and try to find out about the character and the hockey IQ, that's the hardest part of the job, and it's probably the most important part of the job. But they can't be in their pocket every minute of the day to figure out what they're – so they have to do a lot of work as far as talking to other people, going to a lot of games. And it's really a great question, Bobby, and you should ask a scout how much work they put into – because hockey IQ is so important. We get all enamored by skill, but the player is dumb as a rock. You just don't know what's going to happen, no matter how much skill he has. And so that hockey IQ is very important. They do a lot of work in trying to figure that out.
I am going to take John Tortorella's advice, and I am going to get a scout on this show and talk to him about the process, because it is a process. I don't know when that's going to be. There's some point where there will be scouting meetings coming up here in a couple of months and everybody comes to Columbus. I'll do it then. But that's a really good point that he makes, you know, to talk to one of them and see what their process is, because it is tough. It is really tough to find out who a player is as a person and figure out if they have something beyond just the hockey skill, if they have something else that they can offer that's going to make you a better organization as well as them a better player. That is the real challenge. But the Blue Jacket scouts, they've gotten it right with Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, he's a fantastic person, and he's developing into a very good National Hockey League player, and right now is the number one centerman on his team. He took a few minutes out for us fine folks in the media. I don't consider myself in the media because I work for the team. So I'm going to take myself out of that classification, because usually that media term just means troublemakers. And I tend to think I'm not a troublemaker. And if I am, it's calculated trouble, quite frankly. So he got together with the media and me in the dressing room yesterday and talked about his overall game, and you just hearing his voice, how much fun this guy's having.
PL, it seems like every day we talk to you about another step in your development. Is any of this surprising to you at all?
I knew it was going to be step by step. Talking to the staff here, talking to the players, it's a big step from juniors, even camp. But I'm going day to day. I'm still going day to day. I'm learning every day, and that's where I want to keep going with that.
How much have things been accelerated for you because of the success here recently with this line?
It's going really well right now. I'm still talking to Brad, talking to Andy, seeing what I can do better and help them out a little bit more. But like I said, still trying to learn every day in practice, doing video and stuff like that.
I noticed that you and Artemi were out chatting today when you guys went over to the ice house. What are those conversations, to the point that you're comfortable sharing? What do those entail? Because it's got to be a little bit difficult, right?
Yeah, well, you get to know him on the ice, but I know I want to get to know him off the ice too. It's fun to talk to him. He's a funny guy. He doesn't talk that much, but he's really funny. So, like I said, just get to know him on and off the ice.
How much of where you guys are now is all about chemistry? And, hey, this works. We talked to Torts for a long time about putting together lines, and this one at least is working right now.
Yeah, it's going really well. We talk a lot on the ice. We're getting to know each other a lot more. We don't think as much, and I think that's one of the reasons we have a lot of success right now.
You're a big guy. You protect the puck well. Have you noticed how well Artemi protects the puck, and how much does that impress you?
I have an advantage. I'm bigger, I can just put my body, but him, he has to be smarter about it, and taking the puck away from him is really hard. I tried in practice a couple of times. It's not that easy. He's shifty. Don't know which side he's going to go, and he always has his head up, so he can make a play right after, so he's really good at that.
Is he strong as well, stronger than people realize?
Yeah, like, strong on pucks, never quits, so getting the puck away from him is really hard.
PL, just one other thing here. Torts was talking about your development and said, basically, this 19-year-old guy is my number one center now. When you hear a line like that at 19, 27 games into the NHL career, how do you react to that?
It's fun. I'm happy I'm playing well right now. NHL season is long, and it's my first one, and I'm playing well right now, I think, but I got to keep going. There's going to be ups and downs during the season, and hopefully I could keep that steady pace and keep playing well.
When you talk about that possession, how important is that going to be against a team like the Devils, who they like to possess it, they like to skate, they can skate very well? Is it going to be more important that you guys have it and they don't?
Yeah, of course. Anytime you have the puck and they're chasing after it, I know offensive guys, they want to have the puck, and when they don't, they get a little frustrated. So, as we got to keep the puck in their zone, and when they have it, not panic, try to get it back and go back on the offense.
See, he makes it sound so simple, doesn't he? That's Pierre-Luc Dubois, by the way. Just keep the puck, and if they get it back and go on the offense. That's the way he's playing. Relaxed, carefree. So is Josh Anderson, and so is Artemi Panarin. And then they're all working on top of that. They're carefree, and they're working hard all at the same time. And that's why they're having the success that they're having. And it is fun to watch. And I would love to talk to Panarin, if he could understand me. I think he understands me. I don't know if he could communicate it, but I would love to talk to him from his vantage point. Again, here's a guy that came from the Chicago Blackhawks who was playing with Artem Anisimov and Patrick Kane, two very talented players, especially Kane, one of the best in the world. And now he's had to adjust not having that guy on the other wing. And it's been a process. Cam Atkinson didn't work out. Alexander Wenberg didn't work out. Nick Foligno didn't work out. Oliver Bjorkstrand showed signs, but not like this. Not like this line. And Dubois has said before about playing with the Russians in junior that play a similar game to Artemi Panarin. And so he just learned how to play their game, how to make them better players. And that's what he's doing here. So
it's just worked. It has just clicked. It's just happened. And now they're just going with it. But I would love to hear Panarin's version of what's going on here, because we always hear from Anderson and Dubois. I would love to hear from the guy that came from playing with Patrick Kane and ask him why this is starting to work when Josh Anderson is no Patrick Kane. No offense, but he's not. He's a different player. He's got some of the same attributes. He's got good speed. He's got great speed. He's got good hands. Much bigger guy. Plays a more physical game. So just, I would be curious. That would be a fun conversation to have. I don't know if I could line that up. Maybe I should get to really working on lining that up somehow, some way. Maybe accidentally bump into him in the hotel lobby, you know, just by chance. It's not a conversation I would have recorded for you, I'll tell you that. But I could have the conversation and relay it to you. That's what I should work on. Why am I telling you what I should work on? I'm like thinking out loud and telling you what it is. I need to get back to this show and what's going on here. Matt Calvert returned to the lineup the other night against the Washington Capitals, and he was effective, and he got a shorthanded goal in that game. It was good to have him back just because of what he brings. And as I've told you, and John Tortorella has said a million times, he felt he was playing his best hockey when he got hurt in that game in Tampa a couple of weeks ago and then had to sit out for a few games. So Matt Calvert was back. As I said, he was a big contributor, and I had a chance to catch up with him and talk about his return.
First of all, welcome back to the lineup. How happy were you to come back and play the way you did and actually get a goal and get it shorthanded, which is your forte?
Yeah, it was great to be back. It's a long month, you know, watching your teammates, but thankfully they're winning a lot of hockey games, so it helps a lot. And, you know, it's just you get those first few shifts out of the way, you start feeling more comfortable every shift, and obviously want the 2 points for the win, but obviously scoring your first game back is nice too.
Even though you didn't win that game, we always talk about, well, there's things you can learn from games, but that one, it was a good game. I mean, there were a lot of things that you guys had to overcome, and I'm sure there's a lot you can build on from that one, isn't there?
Yeah. You know, we just had a meeting. We had a ton of offensive zone time, and that was, I think Breadman, Andy, and Pierre-Luc did a great job leading the way, and you know, I think the rest of the line's just trying to pick up after them, and that's the strength of our team is working down low, and you know, our D, we're getting involved, and you know, when they get involved, it helps us forwards and creates so much more chances. So that's something we need to key on moving forward here.
That line has really raised the bar for everybody, haven't they? Just the way they're playing, the way they're producing, they're getting goals, they're getting chances. As you know, one of the other guys that's looking to elevate his game, what kind of example are they setting?
You know what? It's pretty simple. You know, I think they've been looking for a line for Brad where he really fits, and it seems to be the line right now. And you know, he's with two guys that are more grinders than skill guys, and it's working out great. But you know, they're keeping it simple. They're getting pucks down low. They're supporting each other, and they're getting pucks to the net and finishing. So you know, it's pretty. Pretty simple recipe when you think about it, but they're working hard and they're outworking their opponents.
And you're a champion for the grinder always.
Oh, I'm always an advocate for the grinder. As long as you're scoring goals, you deserve to be there.
Yeah, and speaking of scoring goals, you know, Torts always says about you want to move up into the lineup, you got to put the puck in the back of the net. Sometimes he always wants to see that more out of you. So to get that shorthanded goal, you know, that's another good stamp on your resume, especially when you missed all that time, because I think you were playing your best hockey when you went out with the injury.
Yeah, no, I was feeling great when I went out, and you know, that's something you have to deal with mentally, and I've been there in my career, and you know, you can get yourself down, and you know, obviously you're hurt, you might not be where you were before, but you know, we worked hard, and we worked real hard in the gym. It's not fun being out. I think you put in more time and work on your cardio a little more, but you try to stay strong mentally, and obviously you build yourself back up physically and have yourself prepared.
The only good thing about it is time with the kids is nice, right?
It is nice. I spent hours on end with the family, and I honestly don't know if I really got a break. I would literally be sitting on my couch, and I'd be getting pushed off by my 2-year-old boy, and playing mini sticks, playing ball, anything. He loves doing that, so it wasn't much of a break.
Well, it's good to know you're getting shoved around whether you're in the game or you're sitting at home too.
Yeah, he runs my show, so it's all good.
The New Jersey Devils, you could almost make the argument that at this point of the season, they are what you guys were last year. Not a lot was expected from them. They've been right up here near the top of the division. You get them in a back-to-back set, and you get to do it starting at home. How much do you study opposing teams? Torts always talks about, you know, worrying about what goes on in this room and taking care of yourselves, and I understand all that, but how much do you kind of take a peek at what you're actually going up against?
Honestly, me personally, I don't really. I try to worry about myself, I think, when I start focusing on other teams. And you know, I've been through that in the past where, you know, you look at another team, you know, back in the days, Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Lidstrom and those guys, you look at those guys and you can almost psych yourself out. But that's why you focus on, you know, internally in the room and what you guys need to do to be successful. So, you know, obviously they're a good hockey team. They got a lot of points. They're right behind us. And, you know, we got a chance to have a home at home with them and hopefully steal 4 points and separate ourselves.
They skate like the wind. You looking forward to that?
Yeah, I've heard about that. I guess we'll see, because we got a lot of guys in here that skate like the wind too. So we'll see if they can keep up.
Matt, thank you very much. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
So as Matt Calvert says, this has the potential to be a very fast game tonight. Not over quickly, but a game where the players are moving very quickly in this one tonight. So we'll wait and see how it all plays out. Let's take a look at the New Jersey Devils and exactly what they are. I can tell you their record is 15-7-4. They've got 34 points coming into play tonight. They are tied with the New York Islanders for second place, actually because of tiebreakers. New Jersey is listed in third, but both of those teams are sitting only 1 point behind the Blue Jackets. And by the way, you know, Pittsburgh and Washington have also climbed right back in at two. Washington got a win last night. Pittsburgh and Washington each have 33 points. So 2 points separates the top team in the division from the fifth-place team in the division. And the Rangers are the sixth-place team. They've got 30 points. That is what we're talking about here in the Metropolitan Division. We are talking about it being tight and probably will be tight all season long. New Jersey's coming into this game after a loss in Arizona last time out. They've already been in Colorado where they got a win. They went to Arizona where they took a loss. And as far as their individual players, first of all, I love when I click on NHL.com and look for a game preview. I don't need it. I don't need to read it, so don't get me wrong. But it just amazes me that, you know, it's late morning, almost lunchtime, and the preview's not even done for this game, and these two teams haven't played for days, right? So I guess they have more important things to do than preview this game tonight for two teams that are battling for the top spot in the Metropolitan Division, and they'll get to it when they get to it. But in any event, there's my small rant. I almost said rant of the day, but I'm not sure about that yet. Not sure. Taylor Hall is leading this team with 27 points. He has 8 goals and 27 assists. Here's the surprise. Brian Gibbons. You remember Brian Gibbons, right? He was a former Pittsburgh Penguin. Then the Blue Jackets signed him. He played well for the Penguins. Blue Jackets signed him. He got hurt and missed a good chunk of time. And when he came back, he just wasn't the same guy. Small guy, wasn't scoring, wasn't getting it done. And when he left here, you could easily assume that he was thrown on the scrap heap of hockey history, and that was it for him. Oh, no, my friends. Oh, no, the Phoenix has risen. Brian Gibbons has 11 goals. 11 goals in 26 games coming into tonight's contest. 11 goals, 4 assists for 15 points. That's shocking. It is shocking. There's no question about it because of what I said. When he left here, it looked like his better days were behind him, but they apparently were in front of him. Nico Hischier is a guy that was taken number one overall this summer, made this team. He has 18 points in 26 games, 5 goals and 13 assists for him coming into tonight's contest against the Blue Jackets. And another guy that's worth talking about is Jesper Bratt, and he's having quite the season as well. See, young guys that aren't household names as of yet, but Bratt has 17 points, 8 goals, and 9 assists so far this season. And Will Butcher, the free agent defenseman that was shopping his services around, the Blue Jackets had some early interest in that, but he eventually chose the New Jersey Devils. Man, what a find they've got with this guy. 18 points, 2 goals, and 16 assists off the blue line so far for him this year. So that's the New Jersey Devils in a nutshell as they get ready to play the Blue Jackets in the first of a home-and-home series that, again, will conclude on Friday in New Jersey. So this is going to be it's going to be a battle tonight. Don't think this is going to be a show-up-and-win game, because it's going to be anything but a show-up-and-win game. There's no doubt. This is going to be knock them down, drag them out, Metropolitan Division matchup here tonight. And the Blue Jackets better be on their game. Let me just tell you this. They had better not play in the beginning of the game like they played the other night in Washington. And that was the second half of a back-and-back, back-to-back, sorry. Second half of a back-to-back, and they got off to a slow start, and they were down 2-0 before they could blink. They can't do that tonight. I don't care if you're at home or not. You can't do it tonight. Absolutely, positively not. So they've got to be ready to go immediately in tonight's game. It's a game that gets underway at 7 o'clock tonight. By the way, do you know who's dropping the ceremonial first puck? This is one of those things where some people will cheer and some people will just get sick to their stomachs because that's the way the sport is. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to drop the ceremonial faceoff tonight, drop the puck for the ceremonial faceoff tonight. How about that? I think it's cool. I mean, I loved his dad. I loved watching his dad race. I wasn't a big race car guy. Listen to me. I'm still not because I just said that. I wasn't a big NASCAR guy. And then this was out of high school a couple of years. My uncle and his cousin, they used to like to go to races. They would go on a bus trip every so often. And somebody was supposed to go with them, and they canceled. And they were going to Martinsville, Virginia. So they called me and they asked if I wanted to go. Well, I didn't really know anything about racing except they go in a circle, always to the left. And I didn't have anything to do that day. And, you know, I figured we'd ride a bus and drink beer the whole way there. And that's not a bad way to spend a Sunday. So I went, and I tell you what, I loved it. I loved it. I got into it after that. I started to watch it all the time. I don't do it so much anymore. But that was back in the heyday there with, you know, Dale Sr. and Alan Kowicki. I always liked that. Alan Kowicki in the number 7 Hooters car. Who else was, Richard Petty was still driving at the time. Kyle Petty. Kyle Petty's car caught on fire that day, as a matter of fact, right down in front of us, which was cool. He was fine, so it was cool. That's just a normal day in NASCAR, right? But anyway, Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be here to drop the ceremonial first puck tonight at Nationwide Arena. And 7 o'clock game. I think I said that, but I'll say it again. 7 o'clock game. And everything gets underway starting at 6:45 with pregame coverage on the Blue Jackets Radio Network. And that includes the flagship station, 97.1 The Fan, in Columbus tonight. Don't forget, you can also hear the game at BlueJackets.com or get it through your phone on the Blue Jackets app. The Blue Jackets and the Devils. Don't sell your soul to the Devils. Not tonight or not Friday. Not neither game of this home-and-home series, which gets underway tonight until later on this evening when the Devils step on the ice at Nationwide Arena to face the Blue Jackets. I'm Bob McKelligan saying so long.